Thanks, Tom. Fellow father. Yeah, fellow fathers, we are the ones who, you know, plunge the toilets. We've been through, I saw the goldfish there. We've been through, I think, 4 or 5 goldfish. They've all had different resting places over the years. We're the ones who eat the leftovers. We're the ones who kill the bugs, get up in the night because there was a noise. So I honor you, fellow fathers. I thank you for your service in that area. Also, in honor of Father's Day, I'd like to cite some classic ideas about real men. We will list some things that real men don't say and some things that real men don't do. Men here today, please consider these as you think about what real manhood looks like. Women, wives, children, and friends of the men here today, please consider these as you think about the real men in your own lives. So let me start with the things that real men don't say. First thing a real man doesn't say is when his team lost 10-0, well, we tried our best. After all, that's the important thing. Real men don't say, does anyone else need to go to the restroom? Real men don't say, I think those big jacked up monster trucks just look ridiculous. Real men don't say, that's those shoes with that outfit. Real men don't say, sometimes I just want to be held. Real men don't say, I just need to have a really good cry. And of course, real men don't say, I was wrong. And of course, we don't say, we're sorry. Now, the next list is some things that real men don't do, right? Real men don't do what? What's the classic from the book? Eat quiche, thank you. Real men, of course, don't, what's the classic one? Don't ask for directions, right? We prefer to get lost, waste fuel, and promise we're almost there. Real men don't get facials, pedicures, manicures, or dye our hair, okay? Real men don't shave our legs, backs, chest, or arms. Real men don't share our feelings. And real men don't have weaknesses, and definitely don't share them with anyone else. So today we're going to look at God's word to see what he says about being real men, and more importantly, more broadly, about being real people of him. Today's a topical message about being authentic. You saw that in your bulletin. Generally speaking, being authentic is what? Is living honestly. Showing people in our lives who we really are. Today we're going to see authentic people are the ones who understand God's grace and live regularly in it, such that they not only understand and admit their weaknesses, but they're actually willing to occasionally share them with others. A select number with a select number of people, just so we're clear. This is not TMI, okay? We'll also see authentic people are the ones who understand the power of God and regularly draw on that power to overcome some of their weaknesses. None of that are willing to share that with others who experience the same thing, again, with humility in a small group of people. Although it's a topical message, we're going to be drawing primarily from one passage in the Bible. You can turn with me now. It comes from one of my favorite books in the Bible, 2 Corinthians. We've been studying the book of Romans, written by Paul. This letter was also written by Paul right around the same time. He wrote 3 or 4 letters right around the same time. We're going to be looking at two of the main ideas found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. They are the sufficiency of the grace of God to each of us and the sufficiency of the strength that God gives each one of us as well. But we're only going to look at just a few facets of these. I mean, the grace of God and the strength of God, think of them like diamonds, where with a diamond it has so many different facets, and as you turn it, so many things you can see. So today we're going to look at maybe one or two of those panels of the grace of God and one or two of those panels of the power of God. There's so much more you can study on your own. There's a couple of verses I'm going to give you that are in chapters that you can look at your own. There's ones that are in books you can read out on your own. Again, we're just going to look at a few of those. So I'd like, for just out of respect for God's word, if you would stand with me as I read. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. We've got that up in the back. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about what? My weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think of me more than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults and hardships and persecution and difficulty, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You may be seated. So I mentioned we're journeying through the book of Romans, and Paul also wrote this at the same time. In this section of this letter in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about how God has transformed his life, but not every part of it necessarily just yet. You can look in Acts chapter 9 to read his dramatic conversion story. I recommend that as some reading this week. But we see here that God has allowed an aspect of Paul's circumstances and or his character to still be under refinement. And that's the amazing thing about the Christian journey, I find, is that many of us who have come to faith, God has transformed parts of our lives in dramatic ways that other people see, that are remarkable. And in my own life, when I first came to faith, there was two areas that God did that in. One was the attitude I had towards my parents. I actually began to acknowledge them as real people here on Father's Day, and actually think that they occasionally had something worthwhile to say to me. So that was amazing to my parents. They couldn't believe that I actually began to treat them in a different way, with respect and honor. The second thing was just my attitude towards my academics. Academics I thought were a necessary evil you endured, rather than something that God put people in my life again to teach me and help me learn about just life. However, there's other aspects, as those of us who have come to faith recognize that our character that God leaves is what I'll call lifelong construction projects, where he's intending to build our character over time, over our entire lives. Now, in my own life, two of those areas are kindness and compassion. Those of you who've gotten to know me, we talked about the 10 to nothing, right? I'm okay on the other side. I can win 10 to nothing. I have no trouble with that. I don't care what the other guy feels, right? My wife and I watch a football game, and a quarterback will get sacked, and she'll feel bad for him. And I'm like, grind it in, right? Okay, there's no problem with that. I hope he's hurt, right? So kindness and compassion are areas that are just a journey for me. They're under construction in my life. Sometimes it feels like 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, or even 2 steps forward and 3 steps back at times. So Paul here is explaining the same thing has happened to him. And this, he explains, why does God do that in our lives? He says in verse 7, the idea of not becoming conceited, the idea of being kept humble. And the idea literally translated means not overly exalted. So once God transforms your life and different things happen, people begin to say, oh, look how respectful you are. And you begin to kind of get puffed up and think, you know what? Yeah, God did that. And then you kind of take some credit for God's work in your life. And then he has these wonderful little pockets in your life that really, if people actually saw what was going on inside your heart and inside your mind, even some of the things you say and do, it would just be really not a good scene. And those are the things he leaves there to remind you that he wants you to be humble, because he does not what? Resist the proud. Right? He resists the proud, but does not despise the humble. So the church in Corinth, that was neat about them, is it was a church that he spent time with, that those people knew him. So they knew his strengths, all the things that he had been through, his story, but they were also around him enough to probably know some of these weaknesses that he mentions, which is why I think he doesn't mention them explicitly to the rest of us. It's kind of like his little group knew what was going on. His small group kind of knew the things he was wrestling with. And for the rest of us, he just left it ambiguous. There's some people who argue whether this was an aspect of his character, a physical condition he had, some circumstances he was in. It really doesn't matter. At the end, whatever it was kept Paul humble. And whatever it was kept him relying on God every day. Now, what's neat is that in addition to kind of our being kept humble through our struggles and creating this greater sense of dependency, there's this idea of grace and strength that I mentioned at the beginning. So we're going to look at those and kind of understand what they mean in our lives. But before I do, I want to give, where did all this idea of authenticity come from? I want to give some credit to an author named Donald Miller. Some of you may have read some of his works. I was reading some, and it really triggered in me an idea. Donald Miller mentioned that he noticed something. He noticed something with kids and parents. And basically he said there are parents who are open and honest about their faults, and their kids seem better adjusted for life. They seem to come from families where parents are real about their shortcomings. They come from families who live and believe in grace. These are kids who seem to be well-adjusted, highly functioning, easy to talk to, and have nothing to prove. They're from families who love and live what we sang earlier about how God's love was sufficient for us, specifically how deep the Father's love is for us. We sang that one verse today, I will not boast of anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Donald Miller also noticed the opposite. Many of his friends who confessed to him that they've had problems in life in part came from the families where they grew up, where the parents were having a hard time admitting they were wrong. they come from religious families where the parents felt they had to play a role in modeling perfection. Well-adjusted people come from families who have parents who are honest about their mistakes and even apologetic. Imagine on this Father's Day having a dad who's willing to say something, you know, you get your temper from me. It's one of the terrible things I've handed on to you. I'm so sorry about that. Here's how I've learned to handle it. Let me know if you need any help. I love you so much, I would hate to see you feel any unnecessary pain on account of me. Are we ready today to be authentic like that? Are we people who absolutely have no problem admitting who we really are to somebody else? As we see in our passage today, Paul was that kind of person. In verse 10, he mentions how he even delights in his weaknesses. He explained how when he was weak himself, that's when he felt strong in God. So how do we apply this passage that Paul has to our lives, the things that we wrestle with, the things that we struggle with? Well, the first thing is we have to understand if you're a real Christian or not. Because if you try to conjure this up in your own power, it won't work. You may be able to be kind of get it going for a day or for a week, but it's like a tire that has a hole in it. Eventually, you can fill air in it every day, but eventually it's going to fall. It needs to be replaced. That's what God does with our hearts. He takes out the old heart, and he puts a new one inside us. So how do you know if you're a Christian or not? Well, there's two questions I think that have been real helpful for me in my journey. The first question is that, has my sin been brought to my attention, and does it really bother me? I mentioned last week the things that we do, the things that we say, and even the things that we think can be contrary to God's desires. And God's Holy Spirit will start to work in our heart, and that'll just make us restless. And we'll have this desire for forgiveness that's insatiable, and we can't do anything else about it. And the second thing is that do I have a desire to really understand who God is and do the things he wants me to do? Or do I just wake up and don't care? So if you've wrestled with sin and it's really bothered you, and you've had a desire to live for God, then those are the marks of a true Christian, of a real Christian. Now, for those of us who have said yes to those questions, we're starting that journey of faith. For some of you who maybe haven't answered yes to those questions, today may be that day. Now, once we're on that journey, how do we become more authentic? Well, before we start looking at being authentic, it's kind of helpful to understand, what stops me? Why do I not so comfortable being authentic? I think the main thing is what? Fear. We're afraid. So we all have favorite holidays, right? Some people like Christmas. I know some people really like Thanksgiving. Okay, one of the holidays I really enjoy is Halloween. I mean, how many people like to dress up or put on masks or pretend, right? We just like to pretend we're different people. So where does that come from, right? It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's not like from Satan, but at the same time, there's a way that we like being something we're not. My son loves being a superhero. He likes being stronger than he really is and doing things that he could never really do once he puts on his cape and his mask. That's what he thinks, right? So we don't let him jump off the top of the building because we know it's not going to work, right? So get down from the roof, you know? But we, even as adults, will sometimes put on masks and capes and think of ourselves more highly than we ought. We'll take on that, be conceited, and take on that more glory than we deserve. So in order for us to be authentic, we first need to be real. We need to stop pretending. We need to stop trying to please people and put away our mask and our costumes. It's just like that song we sang earlier. We need to take a look at our heart and know that we have a maker, and he formed my heart. Before even time began, my life was where? In his hands. I have a father, and he calls me his own. And what? He will never leave me no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Wonderful words we sang today. Paul, in Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, reminds us of us. He says, there's nothing you can do to separate you from the love of God. So the first thing we do is kind of need to cast away some of our fears. We need to understand that God knows us, and he loves us just where we are. However, he loves us too much to leave us there. He is in the process of transforming our lives to be one that follow after him more and more, day by day, week by week, that lifelong construction project. So the first step is leave our fears behind and have faith in who he really is. The second area where we can apply this is we need to be authentic by sharing more of our struggles with a select group of people. So what I'd like to do is start that today. Now, we're not going to have people come up here. This is not a public forum, okay? But what I'd like you to do is just start to think, if you have a pen or pencil, to write down one of the strengths that you have. What's one strength that you know God has given you? you don't know, you can ask somebody nearby. They've seen you, I mean, do wonderful things. And as you do that, let me encourage you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just a few chapters earlier, Paul starts mentioning some of his own strengths. He mentions how he had great endurance. He was a hard worker. He was understanding, patient, and kind. God had really turned his life around. However, in our passage today, we saw that God still left him to struggle some things in his life to keep him humble, so that people, in fact, in that chapter, in those verses, talk about having an accurate view of yourself. Now that you've written down maybe one or two strengths that you have, you know where we're headed next. Let's write down one or two weaknesses. Now these are a little easier for some of us, and some of us maybe a little harder. For those of us it's harder, usually we're married and there's people who tell us those weaknesses, okay? So for me, you know, I'm from a family, talking about family heritage, who time is not that important. Being on time is a challenge. It's something I work at, and it's not necessarily good or bad per se, but it can send a message. So, and I mentioned kindness and compassion earlier. So write down a strength and write down a weakness that you have. Not a whole list, maybe just one to start for today. And again, you can even write it in code if you think someone else is looking, okay? Backwards, pig Latin, you know, a special word that means something only for you. That wasn't an easy exercise, right? That was a little awkward. But I'd like you to take this next week and understand that in the same way Paul was willing to share with his church, his little small group in Corinth, about what's going on, what he's struggling with, I want you to find someone this week to be able to share that weakness with. So I mentioned kindness and compassion. So last Saturday, we had the privilege of going to Great Adventure, and my son loves to run, and we generally tell him, give him directions that he can run on the grass, right, but not on the cement. And what inevitably happens, he's running around, and what does he do? He falls, and what does he gets all scraped up, okay? And so, Dr. Kindness and Compassion, what's my first response? Right? Come on, you can say it. I told you not to do that, right? It's not, oh, are you okay, honey? It's all right. Where's the Band-Aid, you know? Get out the Band-Aid. Typical father Band-Aid everywhere, right? I told you not, right? So this construction project's going on, right, in my life. So my wife is reminding me, again, kindness and compassion. God's at work in my heart. So God's, as you share that opportunity, so I, during the course of this message of preparing over the past month or so, God, unfortunately, has given me ample opportunities, even last night, I'm not going to get into the details, of just, you know, showing me where he's still at work in my life and where I need to be humble and where I need him day by day, week by week, month by month to grow my heart. So the last area of application I just want to bring to our mind is by realizing that our struggles are not unique. Somehow we get this weird impression that we're the only ones who really struggle with certain things, okay? And as a result of that, we're a little intimidated to share. Now, so what's interesting is, how many of you have, when you go around your family, okay, and you start doing something or saying something, they say, oh, that's just like your father. Or those of you who like have wives, they say, oh, that's a Kachi trait, or they use the maiden name, right? That's from that part of the family, or that's from that. How many of you have experienced that, right? You have tendencies or tracks from those part of the, well, that's because we have these things called parents. These parents have these things called strengths and weaknesses. And we, both through genetic transformation as well as through environment, pick these things up. So there's a good chance, whatever some of my strengths and weaknesses are, that my kids might have them. So minimally, if those of you who are fathers today or mothers, I'm going to speak out to you specifically. If you're looking at your strengths and weaknesses, there's a good chance some of your kids may have some of them. And particularly with your weaknesses, how you deal with them, they need that equipment and encouragement from you. They need you to be authentic and say, you know what? I struggle with this. You know, this is the verses that I've had that helped me through that. This is the way that I pray for those things. This is the things that have helped me journey to be able to see God at work in my life. So I want to encourage us here on Father's Day to, us as dads, to talk with our kids and say where we're at with things. And it's humbling, right? It's humbling. Usually the kids are like, Dad, you're the best, you're the strongest, you're the smartest. And then you're like, well, that's not so smart sometimes, right? You know, and you're like, what? You're not? Yeah, sometimes Dad doesn't think before he talks, and you may have that tendency too. So let me tell you about this verse that says, really weigh your words, or the tongue is a poison, as we talked about last week. and share with them those verses that have been meaningful to you on your journey. So as we lead our families with authenticity, let's take this next week to share those things. Now, for those of you who are without kids, well, let me tell you, there's this thing called siblings, and we as siblings, we're all raised in the same home, and a lot of us have the same tendencies. So reach out to your brother or sister and say, these are the things I've been struggling with, and I wonder if you are too. Here's how God's been working in my life and helping me. I want to pray for you. Siblings have it because we were raised in that same environment. We have the same parents. So are we going to be people who live in the light of grace and demonstrate that to others? Now, as we close, what I'd like to do is go back to the real men again. So real men don't say what? Let me end with one more that I really appreciate. Real men don't say duct tape won't fix that, or I can't fix that. I'd better go get a professional, right? But real men do say that they struggle and that they do need help. Maybe not with the toilet or with anything else. But in the same way that I encouraged us last week to remove the word good from our lives, mentioning people are good, you're a good person, they're a good person, I want to encourage us to start adding a word to our life called struggle. Doesn't have to be weakness, doesn't have to be, you know, character gap, but let's at least use the word struggle because it could be a circumstance, it could be a relationship, it could be a situation, it could be a character issue, but it's a struggle. So I want us to start adding that to our vocabulary this week. It's okay to struggle. Struggle means that there is a power, and his name is God, and I need his help to get by every day. So let's start with what real men don't. Okay, again, real men don't start drama, they avoid it. Right, guys? All right. Unfortunately, drama does come from hard events, right? That as we have weaknesses, sometimes we do create that drama ourselves, guys. Maybe not as big as we think it is in other people's lives, but amazingly, occasionally, we may be the source of the drama. So we do need to admit that we have weaknesses and share them with others with whom we're close. So today we saw it was good to cite a few of our strengths and weaknesses that we had. A little awkward that it was. But if we want to be real people of God, that's how we need to start living. So we saw today real people of God model his grace by freely admitting our weaknesses and come to one another and sincerely asking those close to us to pray for us and help us out. Now, what about real people of God? What do they say? As we saw today, real people of God say to ourselves and to those in our lives that what? The verse that we said, verse 9, his grace is sufficient for me. His power is made perfect in my weakness. So I want to encourage you, we as a church don't necessarily have a memorizing program that we go through where we hand out books and cards and things like that. But somehow they talk about hiding God's word in your heart. So I want you this week to consider committing this one verse to memory. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Can you put it up again there, Nathan? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Write it down, put it somewhere. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So let's all say it together. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So as we end today, we've seen in the portion of God's word what God has to say for us being real men on this Father's Day. It has to say for us about being real people of God, authentic people. May we be authentic people who understand his grace and ready to live in it. May we be genuine and able to admit that we have weaknesses, be willing to share them with other people, and also have people help us. And may we be people who understand the power of God and draw on it regularly to overcome our weaknesses and share our paths to victory with one another. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that we are forgiven. And we're free to be authentic because of what you've done for us on the cross. Help us to be real people. We thank you, God, for this amazing love you have for us. Help us to honor you in the way that we live. We thank you how awesome you are, God. We want to praise you all of our days. We want to thank you that you're mighty in strength, and your strength, as we've talked about today, is able to be shown in our weakness. Help us to share with others about how you are our source of strength. We're thankful that you're faithful to us, and you're always going to be that. Even when we're faithless, and we thank you that you forgive us. Help us to share with others how we put our faith in you. It's for your glory we offer everything. You're the answer, and we want everyone to know. Help us to trust you more and follow you for the rest of our lives. In your name, amen.